sometimes I always believe it's because of the chaos of today, or the last year or so, you kind of lean to these other eras where it was more, strict and more in line, and kind of everybody worked together. That was one thing about Japan that worked quite well. There was actually a sense of community in regards to living in Japan. And they still kind of have that today. But like you said, it's nice to go there in a game, like you said. Sometimes you want the manic insanity that is Helldivers, and then sometimes you want to go into the Edo period of Japan and walk around as a samurai and
You mentioned that, is that exactly what Matthew Perry is doing in Japan?
What, like the Helldiving? Like,
yeah, he's spreading freedom and valor. Right?
To some degree.
Hello, Japan. Itadaki mask. Get some democracy.
Have some patriotism.
Have some patriotism. Je m'appelle Matthew Perry.
It depends on how you view things. But yes, this is why it's seen as a delicate area to talk about.
Are you telling me Chandler Helldove into Japan 160 years ago?
Yes, that's canon now. I'm writing the Wikipedia as we speak.
Hello and welcome back to a brand new episode of everyone's favorite podcast, the Critical Arcade Podcast. I'm your co-host, Nick.
And I'm Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Nick. Are you well?
Yes, I'm well. Still tired. But slowly but surely getting better.
It's just one of those scenarios when somebody says, are you well? You say, yes. Oh, yeah, no, I'm great. And then you think to yourself, but am I?
But no. What am I really?
Am I okay? Yeah, but to say, it's like when you pick up the phone and somebody you don't know, say you're phoning up the municipality or and you say, hi, how are you? Oh, I'm great. It's like, what? Sorry?
Really?
I just said that because it just flows, because it's so used to just saying, oh, oh yeah, Lord. I'm fine.
Everything's
great.
Good.
But yeah, I'm glad to hear you're fine-ish.
The twins are now 9 weeks, almost 10 weeks old. So we're getting into a routine. They're sleeping much better. They're only waking up 2 or 3 times a night for their feeds.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
It is. There's still two of them.
It still surround sound.
Yes. I got babies in stereo.
You've almost got Dolby 5.1. You just need one more. And
we're
then
close.
You've got the surround sound.
We're close.
Yeah.
But other than that, feel good, feeling well, due to this week's game being another new release.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. It's always a good time to pick up a new one. This one,
right?
For me, again, I know we saw it at GamesCon or somebody, whenever they released the trailers. This, for me, also kind of came out without much marketing, or is that just...
Oh, really?
Me? I thought so. There wasn't really much of a big push. We all saw the trailers for it, and then the shops were just saying, here's Rise of Rona. God. Ladies and gentlemen, I might occasionally call this Rise of Rohan, because for some reason, Lord of the Rings is just running through my head, like, 24-7.
Now you know what it feels like.
Yeah, it's the only thing that it wants to say. Riders of Rohan. My mouth wants to say that. Not Rise of Ronan. Riders of Rohan. So, I apologize now, because I'm probably going to say that quite a lot.
That is hilarious. It is. So, yeah, this week, we got Rise of the Ronin, and we need to give a nice, big old, chunky thank you to Gamefinity and Koei Tecmo. Thank you, Gamefinity and Koei Tecmo, for the review code for this game.
Because, like I said, like you said, this game was originally developed by Team Ninja, developed by Team Ninja, which you may know from the Ninja Gaiden games, which of course makes sense. Dead or Alive, as we all know and love the weird fighting game. I never say this name right. Is it Nioh?
No.
See? What is it then? What's how do you say that name?
It I'm not trying to say the word correctly. It's not no. Almost, it's Neo.
Is that Neo?
Neo.
Yeah, so it's like the Matrix. It's the one.
I guess so, yes. Okay, yeah. Neo.
And the
Neo 1 and Neo 2 and what's the other one they did? Wolong Dynasty.
Yeah, that was quite recent, right? The Wolong Fallen Dynasty thing. The strange for so big gaming studio. Big
Team Ninja. That's right.
All about fighting. It's kind of their thing, right? The fighting genre, the Souls-esque.
It does seem like it. Yeah. It does seem like they've gotten their genre and they're sticking to it.
Yeah, exactly. Some interesting, fun little hints, tips, and info bites. Yeah. Do you know that this game was not released in South Korea?
What?
Why? Supposedly, this is Sony, of course.
But this game feels like it'd be a shoo-in for the South Korean audience. But
supposedly, there was some bad blood between Sony and South Korea, and something about comparing one of their famous historical figures to Socrates. Sorry, Bill and Ted. And so they didn't release it. Now Sony's not saying that's true. Yet they still didn't release the game in South Korea for some reason. So
I see.
It is a weird one. South Korea gaming is quite big there. It's huge.
One of the hugest markets.
Yeah. So yeah, this didn't get released in South Korea. And another fun little thing, and I like this, good old Japan being almost... It's always nice when Japan sticks to its kind of ancestral roots, but also has modern day thing.
Oh, Japan. Oh, you traditional, conventional little country.
This had two versions in Japan, this game.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute.
Go on.
Rise of the Ronin.
Yeah.
The skyrocketing of the samurai.
not quite. It's just a big thing in Japan, of course. They're not hugely into excessive violence and stuff like that. That they want to keep it. Even if they rate their games like 18, they don't actually want to see legs go flying and heads come off and all the other like. So they released two versions. They had one that was, PG, with death and stuff, but no blood or... decapitations.
Oh,
or
I see. Okay.
And then a version that you could
family
buy.
Family safe.
Yeah, that had it all. That had the...
The regular version.
Yes, the regular version. But I just think it's kind of cool that you get that option in Japan, that maybe you don't want that excessiveness, but you do want to play the game. You can choose either A or B. I thought that was really cool.
That is nice. I think it makes the game much more accessible.
Yes, exactly.
Than it otherwise would have.
Yeah.
Which, and I think accessibility is a big point for this game. We can get into that later.
But it is interesting to think how much more that would have cost them to develop the game. I can only imagine adding blood and then not having that blood scene must be a developmentally complicated or annoying to have to take all those scenes out or black them out or do anything, something PG
it.
Which costs a lot of money.
It could just have been the other way around. They built the base game to be the PG one, and then they just added
red
blood
paint
and dismemberment.
Yeah, you could be right. I just always, like I said, it's interesting stuff. I do like that they kind of stuck to the Japanese values and sometimes some things, and just made sure that.
But Koei Tecmo is a Japanese company,
yes,
right?
Yeah,
or
very
are
much
they?
So.
Oh, okay, all right.
No, they very much so. Yeah. Jump into narrative then, right?
Yeah, let's do it. So this game, Rise of the Ronin, follows you, an unnamed... What are you before you're disgraced? Veil? What's it called?
Is it Blades of the Veil? I am so bad at this. Assassins of the Veil, Blades of the Veil, something of the Veil. You're right. You're some sort
of... Yes, so you're part of this group hidden in the shadows called the Veil. But then your entire town, your entire community is destroyed, and you are now disgraced. So you need to,
And your master dies.
Of course.
You know, it's almost cliched in Japanese things. If you're an apprentice, you got to go save your master, but your master dies. I won't tell you how because
we won't. We won't spoil it.
But yeah, it's like you said. You do that. You're kind of disgraced and. Again, let me just point out later, weirdly enough, this game is about twins. Like actual twins. So Nick over there has got twins in the game and then twins next to him. So he's
I can't get away.
You really can't. Like everything is just twins all the time. So it was just a funny
I had no idea it was twins. I had zero idea it was twins. Right, I started the game. Mm. I saw these two children run away from their town being destroyed.
Yeah.
Only after Dave told me, ladies and gents, they were twins, that I realized, oh, shit, what? Twins?
Whilst in the room with some twins, you're just like, well, they don't matter to me. I've got my own. I'm not going to notice other twins out there.
But even during the character creation, if I knew they were twins, I'd make them look similar.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, yeah, true. Very true.
I did nothing of the sort, right? I made the dude a Japanese samurai.
Yeah, of course.
And it was, excuse me for that accent, it was cool.
Yeah.
And then the female twin, I made the most Caucasian lady ever.
So they couldn't have looked less twin-like if you
exactly
tried, but, yeah. I literally just changed their hair color so I could denote who was who. Like one was blue, one was red, and to me then one was called red and one was called blue. That's how I did it.
That's smart.
But like you
that's
said, you're disgraced, your town's burned down. And then I love this bit because this is my own ignorance.
Yeah.
You have to go chase down assassinate somebody called Matthew Perry. And I was like,
oh no.
Is that a nod to Chandler? That would be
want to assassinate Matthew Perry, please.
I was like, that's a really weird like coincidence. Didn't somebody, rest in peace, didn't he just die? But then I looked into it a little bit more, and Matthew Perry is actually named after this quite famous American general captain type who actually ended isolation of Japan, which was actually super cool. So this was being historically correct-ish.
But that's the thing with this game, Rise of the Ronin. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of actual historical figures in this game. Right. I wouldn't call this game accurate.
No, but I'm not from a long shot, yeah.
But it's cool for a place like Japan that's got their traditional roots are so incredibly deep.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That in a game like this, when you see historical figures, I can only imagine how cool it must be for those Japanese players who enjoy
definitely.
These types of
no,
things,
agreed.
Right?
Agreed.
What was that other game that RGG Studios made? Ishin. Something Ishin. Like a Dragon Ishin.
Like a Dragon, yeah.
Right? That's also very using historical figures.
Oh yes, that's very much
even
true. The one
the
that's
same
back
thing
in.
Is.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't it just so cool?
It is, and there's another thing I was reading about this. This because this is set in the mid 19th century, so like 1850s to like 1880s. Yeah. It's actually seen as a pretty aggressive time period for Japan. And so a lot of games stay away from it because it's the westernization of Japan and it's not like the traditional ancestral type thing.
I see.
Games actually normally shy away from this subject matter because it's a bit
sensitive
and stuff like that.
I see. A sensitive era for a country.
Yeah, exactly. And but again, they went full force into it. And I, as a European in regards to this, I actually intrigued how they incorporated certain things from the West into their culture. It was fun to watch, even things like their ships becoming steam powered, and even in this game, it shows you the incorporation of rifles and
I was going to say rifles and pistols.
Yeah, it's
because you could switch between a shuriken or a rifle.
Yeah, you could practically play Western or Eastern, right? You could get your long rifle, your handgun, and you get your saber or an officer's blade or some sort. So it changed up, and I thought that was. I can understand why Japan doesn't like to push that narrative too much because it does seem to be a sensitive period.
Right,
for
and
them.
It makes sense. Westernizing a very Eastern country, losing its original identity.
Yes, exactly. That's what
I
they were scared
totally
of.
I can see why that's a sensitive subject.
Yeah, and fundamentally, that's exactly what you do in this game narratively. You can either choose the path of being behind the shogunate, i.e. the traditional Japanese values, or you can be against the shogunate and allow
westernized
progress,
union.
That's right. Which, again, there were some little things in there which I was like, whoa, okay, that makes sense. For example, later on in the game, you get to, you notice cholera is in Japan, which was brought by the West. because Japan didn't have cholera before they landed here.
Oh, and damn.
You'll start seeing towns getting cholera, but the shogunate is ignoring them because they're just peasants and stuff. But that was an interesting thing because that would happen. I can imagine that's historically correct.
A country that's never had to deal with something
exactly,
like that.
Exactly. Right.
All of a sudden, now the West is coming over trying to tell them what's better and bringing disease.
Yeah, no, it's, like I said, for me, it was really interesting. Like I said, this game, like you said, this game isn't like historically correct. This is exactly what happened. This is how it was.
But
it does play on some little historically correct and intriguing little thoughts that you think to yourself, yeah, I wouldn't even think of that. But of course they'd come over with this, or they would bring up this and they'd get decimated by this part of Western.
I get it. It does make so much sense. It's
fun.
Like the newer Call of Duty World War II games. Right? It's not accurate in the slightest.
No, of course not. No, no.
But there are, let's say, guidelines that were accurate, like the Battle of Stalingrad. Sure,
yes,
that
yes,
happened.
Yes.
But no, there was not a there was not a Russian with a flamethrower going through buildings.
No, exactly right. No, but I do agree. I love those bits of games where you can actually learn this little bit, be it culturally, like you said, being historically in regards to war games and games such as this. I always love playing and then learning something from it. I know I sound like a boring old man.
No,
learn things from games. I learned about Matthew Perry. That wasn't Chandler we were tasked to assassinate. It was a general Chandler was named after. Go on.
I do agree with you. I do like games where I can learn stuff, really, you know, history.
Mm-hmm.
I also like games that I can turn my brain off.
Okay, yeah.
And true, this... Yeah. It's so odd. It can be both. This game can be both of those.
Very true. Very true.
The narrative, it's so cliche. Right? But for those feudal Japanese stories,
yeah,
that's almost exactly what you want.
Yes,
good
exactly. Yes,
versus
true.
Evil.
Oh, yeah. That's...
Black versus white.
Yeah.
No, and a lot of people are big fans of these feudal Japanese stories. This era, this entire era, it's so attractive for a lot of people. You included, right?
No, I love this type of era. I like I said, when I always find it's because of the, sometimes I always believe it's because of the chaos of today or the last year or so, you kind of lean to these other eras where it was more, I don't know, strict and more in line, and kind of everybody worked together. That's one thing about Japan that worked quite well. There was actually a sense of community in regards to living in Japan, and they still kind of have that today. But like you said, it's nice to go there in a game. Like you said, sometimes you want the manic insanity that is Helldivers, and then sometimes you want to go into the Edo period of Japan and walk around as a samurai and
Oh, now that you mentioned that, is that exactly what Matthew Perry is doing in Japan?
What, like the hell diving? Like,
yeah, he's spreading freedom and valor. Right?
To some degree.
Hello, Japan. Itadaki mask. Get some democracy.
Have some patriotism.
Have some patriotism, je m'appelle Matthew Perry.
It depends on how you view things. But yes, this is why it's seen as a delicate area to talk about.
Are you telling me Chandler hell-dove into Japan 160 years ago?
Yes, that's canon now. I'm writing the Wikipedia as we speak. He hell-dove into there with his breaker shotgun, and he established rule. Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible.
But then, now, like you said, narratively, there's also lots of parts which are just kind of slow paced. You can go here and there, and fundamentally you're tracking down your twin because you've been separated and you need to know why she's on one or he or she is one side and you're on the other. Yeah,
can I just say, I speaking of this twin, can I just say, I absolutely despise the intro,
the little like the intro to the game, like when you start up the game.
Yes, the intro video.
Yeah.
In the first 5 seconds,
yeah,
the very first 5 seconds, it's got a massive spoiler. Is that not just the dumbest thing?
I'm trying to think what the intro video is. That the one where there's fire everywhere and there's like a foot and then
it's got a lot of stuff. The intro's got a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Except for the first 5 seconds and the spoiler, it's got a town being slaughtered and a little boy shouting in the air.
That's right, that's right.
A gambling room and a lot of Japanese well-to-dos are scrambling for coins.
Mm.
There are a rebellion of farmers running against a line of riflemen.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of things. There are monks praying in a temple.
Fair enough.
It's the production value for the intro is not bad, but come on, in the very first 5 seconds, it just hits you with a spoiler. And I don't want to play the game anymore.
I know what you mean now. I can picture the spoiler. That's true. And it's weird they put it there because they're kind of giving you puzzle pieces so that you can build the narrative between them.
Yes, but they're giving you the middle. The middle 10 pieces of the puzzle that reveals the picture.
That's true. That's very true. I didn't really clock that myself, but you're right. It does let go of some like really important plot devices.
Why?
That it would be nicer to discover slowly as you went through the game instead of immediately.
They know better.
Oh, yes.
Who's this? Ninja something? Who?
Team Ninja.
Team Ninja, they
know
better.
Right?
They've been making games for 30 years.
Yeah, but remember, they have been playing the making Dead or Alive game, Beach Holiday, or whatever the hell it was called.
I keep forgetting that. You're right. Anyway, that annoyed me. It shouldn't annoy me, but it does. It did. And
anything else narratively?
The setting grew on me eventually.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of the feudal Japanese era. I call it Japanese era.
That's fine.
The feudal Japanese era. I get the appeal. It's just not for me.
Fair enough.
I much more prefer high fantasy, like Dragon's Dogma 2, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, okay, yeah. All Lord of the Rings.
So I wasn't that excited for Rise of the Ronin.
Fair enough.
Eventually, though, it did grow on me when I unlocked the glider.
Yeah, I thought that was coming. Yeah.
Well, when the gameplay opened up a bit, where I could explore a bit more, I got the glider. I can. What's the word? Not a hook shot, but I can grapple everywhere and where I need to.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And then glide everywhere I need to go. Everywhere else, it's fun.
It's
then
fun.
When the entire map opened up, I liked it a lot.
Yes, agreed. It's one of those things that I swear every game now has a glider in it. Doesn't matter what game you're playing, the mechanic of glider or grappling hook gun type thing is in every single game you play.
You can thank Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I agree. That is Breath of the Wild's fault because, like, it doesn't. You could be playing Office Simulator and it would be like, oh, I've unlocked the Office glider for my break time.
Oh, no, I need to get to the fifth floor for a meeting with Philip. I need to glide down with my A1 sheet of paper.
Yeah, exactly. But like you said, it is still quite fun. It is handy to get around and stuff like that. I'll give you that is quite fun.
It is. I mean, for a very long time, most games can be broken down into exploration and combat, right?
Correct.
If your combat is shoit and your exploration is good, you've still got a fine game. But if your exploration is doo-doo, but your combat is good, your game is still fine.
Correct.
If you can manage to make both good, your exploration and your combat, you've got a good game. A good game on your hands. I don't think this game nailed the combat that well. But that's gameplay. Excuse me. Okay, so I think the graphical fidelity of this game is outstanding, right?
Yeah.
Purely if you count how many polygons, if you look at the way that this game is crafted, I think it's excellent, right? On a very simple level, I enjoy how this game is presenting itself.
I feel like there's a but coming.
There is a but. But if you compare this to a game that came out, I don't know how many years ago, 5 years ago, Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, literally my first point, but go on.
Right?
Yeah.
If you compare this to Ghost of Tsushima, the graphical fidelity is higher, but the presentation, right? The art direction is worse.
Oh, I think so I get what you mean. It's, you're talking in regards to the areas being so full of stuff compared to Ghost of Tsushima, which is a lot of fields.
I don't even know about being full of stuff, but I think I enjoy how Ghost of Tsushima crafts its world.
Its world was beautiful, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's beautiful. This game, Rise of the Ronin, it looks good. It looks great, right? The graphical fidelity is excellent. But it looks very real. It looks realistic compared to Ghost of Tsushima, where it looks almost like fiction.
Like a painting, right?
Yes, exactly.
No, I get what you mean. I
prefer the painting over the real.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that, because I thought you were going to say, I prefer this one.
No.
Like I said, you can't play this game and not compare it to Ghost of Tsushima, or whatever it's called.
There you go.
Because it was so pretty. We all know the first one's so pretty, that it had the flowers and the trees and the foxes, and it was a very pretty game. And now you got this game, and you're right, that this was set in an era that kind of wasn't pretty. So it can't do the... You could go to the shrines, and there's some nice landmarks and stuff you get to see, which are awesome and stuff. But you're right. You can't paint it in the same pretty way when it's an era that's fighting within itself and stuff like that. So
it seems like this feudal Japanese era was very dirty and grimy, and nobody was clean.
Certain areas, that's very true. The poverty gap just increased. The rich got rich, the poor got poor.
Yeah.
And yes, I do believe historically the shogunate did kind of lose its way, much like most histories. If you go back in time, the Greece and the Romans, they kind of lost sight that that there's the poorer people are getting sicker, and dysentery and stuff is starting to increase.
Yes.
Same thing happens in most history, and this looks like this is the era where that happened in Japan too.
Yeah.
You're right. It again, I find it unfair, because we're talking about an era which is gritty and dirty. And like you said, that's the historical part of what they're doing here compared to Ghost of Tsushima. But I couldn't play this game, and I kind of hated the hair. I know
you hated the hair?
Now, granted, I'm relatively bold, so it might be just like hair bias. But the hair in it just seemed bad.
Bad? What do you mean bad?
Okay, just the other day, we looked at the video of Stellar Blade.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
And the hair in that looks great. I've looked at the hair in other games I can't think of right now. Baldur's Gate, the hair in that's kind of cool. The hair in this, I don't know why, for my money, sucked.
Why?
It sucked! Because it was all thick polygons, and there weren't any real strands of hair. They were like...
Anyway,
I'm being fussy, don't get me wrong. I am being fussy. And the hair, I can only imagine, is super hard to actually put in graphically, because, you know, physics and wind blowing and all the other things you've got to add to it.
Yeah.
I thought the visuals in this game were kind of lacking. I'm not going to lie.
You think so?
I think so. I thought there was just... Later on in the game, It's so Assassin's Creed like, where you just have to go to one area, do this thing.
It's very much
go
like
to the next
Creed.
Area and do this thing. And then you start just thinking, well, I've defeated this character design like 7 times, and I've gone here and I've defeated this character design 20 times, and it's, I don't know. I think, granted, I'm going into gameplay a bit too much there. Did you think this game was overly violent as well?
No.
Do you like Tarantino?
I do. There are dismemberment. I did get a lot of blood. I wouldn't call it overly violent. Doom is overly violent.
That's a great great one to compare to. Yeah, I can't argue that point. Doom is incredibly violent. Yeah.
This one, I mean, I wouldn't say there wasn't dismemberment.
There was plenty.
In the feudal Japanese era.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
But yes, cutting off every one of your foes' head is a bit excessive.
And, okay, I'll add some, like, pluses. You get to play with cats. I thought that was a plus. I like cats. Yeah. I like animals. You get to play with lots of cats.
You get to collect cats.
And doggos. Lots of doggos to say hello to and get so money, good. Which is like a score I wish I could. That was in real life. and I do like, I must admit, I thought you do, in game, one of the things you do is take photos, right? You take photos of landscapes. Some of their positioning where you had to stand to take the photo, I thought was really artistically done. Like, I was like, whoa, that's such a good angle to take of this shrine, or that's such a good... Sometimes you get them and it's just a take picture A, and you could zoom all the way in and just take a picture of a window, and they'd say, yeah,
great
job.
Mission complete, check mark.
Perfect, yeah. These ones, the angles that like lower down and high up and set with the trees in the right location look really thought out. I thought they'd almost look like postcards every time you took a photo. I thought that was really cool.
It is incredible. I like how most new games are incorporating photo mode, so you can just bask in how good these games are looking. I wouldn't say this game looks bad. I'd like there to be a bit more color. Right? I think that's another thing Ghost of Tsushima did that this one just doesn't. There's more color.
Yeah.
This one just looks bland.
No, I agree entirely. The whole place looks kind of bland. I'm guessing that was a directional choice, but I must admit, I do miss it too. I miss a colorful flower or a pretty bright green tree, or I don't know. Yeah, I agreed.
One thing I do very much want to applaud in this game is how this game seamlessly adds your custom character into every cutscene.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, that's right.
The cutscenes seem pre-rendered, right? Maybe 10 years ago. They seem like 10 years ago pre-rendered cutscenes, which... Right? Good! But then you can see, oh, shit, my custom character is just in this. They're just there doing what they need to it. And I realize to what extent these cutscenes aren't pre-rendered anymore. These games have come a long way. Gaming has come a long way.
No, it really has. No, it really has. I do get what you mean each time. You could even have you could have created an insane looking character.
Yes.
And he would be standing in front of the shogunate or standing in front of
You could
the
have
geishas.
Made an abomination.
Yeah, really, really. Really
And the cutscenes would not skip a beat.
That's very true, very true. I liked, and it's again, this is one of my little things, and I'm very petty, but I do enjoy it. I like that you could clean your blade of blood. You know, that cool move all samurais do when you...
Oh, and it's an actual mechanic.
Yeah, it's a mechanic, and it cleans it, and then your blade shines. And I was come on.
It makes you feel
very
cool.
Simple, but that was it's a cool little bit.
We can get into that in gameplay, I also like how a lot of how this game feels very gamey.
As in meat. But yeah, go on, sorry.
Not meat. The one thing I despised about The Witcher 3 was that everything was animation-based.
Okay, yes, yeah, yeah.
Right. You're Geralt of Rivia, and if you need to run around, it's animation-based. His character model needs to turn the other way and then walk left, right. I don't like animation-based gameplay.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And
I'm with you.
And Rise of the Ronin isn't. It seems like it would be, but it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big fan of that. It doesn't look as good and as fluid as The Witcher 3 does, for example. Mm-hmm. But it plays better. And that, in my books, is better.
I know what you mean. And there is, like you said, there's aspects to the environment that he can climb, and you know there is where you can see interaction and can't see interaction, which is which again very Assassin's Creed to me. Like they obviously learned a lot from that, the climbing mechanics, the falling mechanics, and even the assassination. Like most games, there's a stealthy part, right, where you can assassinate from the top and assassinate from the bottom, and Far Cry had it. It is very visually pleasing, and my favorite part again, is there's lots of dogs in this. And you don't have to kill them, which is... I hate killing dogs in games.
It seemed to Okay, you really like the dogs in this game.
I hate, you know, in games and you go in and then you've attracted three dogs and then they like bark at you and they whimper when you slash them. I hate that because it makes me feel bad. And in this game, you can sneak up on the dogs and then just go, oh, he's a good boy. Who's a good boy? And then they go, all right, I'm not going to bite you.
I'm a good boy.
Right, exactly. And they sit there as you slaughter their master. I'm like, that's great. I'm so happy that I don't have to attack at like dogs. I don't know why I hate that in games, but this game let me off, so I was happy about that.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about the enemy dogs?
Yes, the enemy dogs.
What? You can pet the enemy dogs?
Oh, yeah. When you increased your charisma stat, you could sneak up on the Rottweilers and stuff and the wolves and just like go, oh,
what? And pet them?
And go, oh, it's a good boy. And then they just sit down and just let you do what you're doing.
And then you can de-aggro them.
Yes, basically. Yes, you completely de-aggro them.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah.
I just killed them.
Oh, no. What's wrong with you, poor doggos?
What do you mean? I didn't know I could pet them. If I knew I would have every time. Oh, no.
Yeah, all those dogs died needlessly because you didn't try to pet them.
Are you kidding? I killed dogs I didn't need to?
Yeah, that's right. You should feel bad. Yeah, you should really feel bad about that. Anyway, anything else visually you want to talk about, or should we jump into audio?
Oh, I'm still sad.
All dogs go to heaven, don't worry.
Don't remind me of that movie.
I know, right?
Audio. Oh, I've not even watched that entire movie.
Oh, I watched it years ago. It's an old movie as well.
Oh, it is. Audio.
Yeah, audio. Mr. Audio Man, what do you think?
I think that it is so incredibly smart how they incorporated instruments of the feudal Japanese era into this. It seems like such an obvious thing to do.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right? Just get some traditional Japanese instrument players and get them into the recording studio. It is an obvious thing to do, and it's an obvious commendation from me. Yes. I enjoyed that they did it, and I want them to do it again.
Yes, I agreed. It is, like I said, it just sets the genre in place. It just puts you in the world better. Yes. I'm not going to be able to name any of the instruments they play. It's that twang thing.
And it is.
Like, we all know the noise. I don't know what it's called. Again, it's very good. There was a few things that kind of... And I can only imagine, what did you play it in dub-wise? Did you play it in English? Was it English dub, or did you go to the Japanese dub version of the game?
Of course, I played the Japanese.
Yes, right. You've got to play the Japanese.
Exactly. That's right? Like playing Ghost of Tsushima, Sekiro, Like a Dragon, or Yakuza. It's like playing them with English dubs. You can't. Yes. It's illegal.
Too, yeah, it's too detracting. You know, you're in Japan, you're playing a Japanese person, and if you don't have the aggressive Japanese, it does take it away. I forgot to change them at the beginning of my first playthrough. And I must admit, it was nothing against the English voice actors, but the English voice acting dubs was not great. They were American and like different. It just detached from everything.
By the way, I was kidding. If you play with dubs, more power to you.
That's true. You can play with dubs. Just
I don't care how you play preference. Your games. If and you then, enjoy it, that's fine.
And then
excuse me.
Go on.
No. I also played with the Japanese dubs, and I was disappointed by one fact.
Go
which
for it.
I know you're disappointed in as well.
Yeah, go on. Hit us with it.
There's a part in the game where you talk to the Westerners, General Matthew Perry.
Yeah.
And if you pick the Japanese voice acting option, then you and your mates, you all speak Japanese, as you should. But that also means the Westerners, the Americans, are also speaking fluent Japanese,
exactly.
Which makes zero sense.
Yeah, that's what bugged me. It's weirdly, but it bugged me so much.
It makes complete sense, but it also just doesn't.
Yeah, they could have had a translator in the room with them or something just to ease that off. But yeah, we had British people, Americans, some French were there, and they all spoke fluent Japanese. Now,
no.
I don't doubt some of them learned some Japanese, but this was so annoying.
It really was. I didn't like that. No. I enjoyed the way that they did it in Like a Dragon.
Yes.
Infinite Wealth, where... Mm. you're in Hawaii. The Americans are speaking American.
That's right, right? That's right. Yeah.
They're English speakers, and the Japanese speakers are still Japanese. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. You're not compromising the game for accessibility. But then on the other hand, accessibility.
I agree.
There are a lot of Japanese folk who don't talk English.
Oh, yes, of course. No, very much so. I think they learn English in schools quite hard there too. I agree. It's such a weirdly disconnecting thing because this game, again, we were talking about how it's set in the era where the West was coming in, and it was added to it just like a lost in translation between two people, the Japanese and the English, and the talking. That would have been such a nice little niche bit to put in there to show the troubles with incorporating one another and stuff. And then, like you say, you even get introduced to these characters who are English navalmen or something like that, and they're just pure Japanese. Even the accent, pure Japanese.
No,
like they've been their genius level of linguistics, and it's it really was destroys the immersion. It does.
It did destroy my immersion as well. When me and my twin, we finally met General Matthew Perry, and he was just speaking fluent Japanese. I was taken out of it.
Yeah, it's so annoying. I can't, like, ladies and gents, we get it because if you're in Japan and you want them to speak Japanese, but we all kind of used to subtitles now. I know it's a weird thing to say, but I'm guessing with Korean dramas and Korean music and all the other music coming out, we're all kind of getting very used to seeing subtitles on the screen, right? So it wouldn't have been hard for them to have put the English bits in and then subtitled in Japanese, you know?
Or do what Like a Dragon did. Just have your English voice actors try the Japanese language. Because that would make sense. The Westerners are coming to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Have them just try speaking Japanese to the locals.
That would be much more
historically accurate.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. That definitely would have happened. There would have been people over there that were learning the dialect and stuff like that to incorporate into. Yeah, 100%. And you're right. There were bits where even the NPCs in the streets, like the ladies and gents with like their umbrellas and stuff like that, and when you bump into them, would speak Japanese to you. It was like they would go, oops, out of the way. Or they'd literally go, we are here. Sorry, I'm not going to try to do a Japanese accent.
I completely understand why they did this. Yeah. It's just not what I would have done. You know, if I was Team Ninja.
Yes, which is inevitable. I am fundamentally always Team Ninja.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing, I saw that the composer for this music, I'm not going to say his name wrong because it's a strange-ish name, Einonzer? Inonza?
What?
Do you know the name?
No.
Oh, good. I thought you said, what? No way, not Inonza.
No, Inonza. Inonza?
He's actually kind of prolific. When I looked up his name, he did the Dragon Age Origins soundtrack. He helped pen Fallout 3 and 4 and New Vegas' music.
Oh, wow.
And he recently just did the Starfield music before
this game. Googled him now. Yeah. His name really is Einonzer.
Right, I'm not saying that wrong. It's like Einonzer, and if you seen his picture, he couldn't look less like an Einonzer if he tried. I was like, whoa, that wasn't the person I was picturing.
Goodness, I'm happy he did this. The music is excellent.
Right, yeah, no, he's quite a prolific composer, and he does. Like I said, I love the Dragon Age Origins soundtrack. I used to listen to that as a kid. I can't believe how old that game is now. So. Jeez. And Fallout, who doesn't love the Fallout music? And he's done a banging job here as well. The drama, the period pieces, it's all so kind of spot on music-wise.
Big fan.
Yeah, very, very good.
So I think it's time we get into gameplay. Unless you've got anything
else. No, gameplay, let's do it. This is where the
gameplay
the
could be a big old chunky one.
Yeah.
Because this seems to be what is dividing the people for this game and against this game.
Right? I can see that, yeah.
This part is a bit all over the place.
Yeah, agreed.
The gameplay. Because earlier I spoke about two big parts in a game like this, the exploration and the combat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I dig the exploration.
Yeah.
I dig it. Yeah, You can move around freely. You can call your horse, and in a second, you're galloping down the dusty old road. Mm-hmm. You've got a glider that you can just glide down for quite a while, and you've got a grappling hook, so you can reach places high up in the air.
Yeah, yeah. Like I say, the standard kind of tropes nowadays. But yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah,
that's the exploration. Mm-hmm. The part I'm concerned about is the combat.
Okay, how so?
I'm not the biggest fan of the combat. I don't know how you feel about it.
There was a part of the combat I enjoyed. It was a concept. I haven't played many combat games like this, but I did like the idea that you had a health bar, a key bar, fundamentally, your stamina, and the enemies had a, what they call it? Like a crazy bar? Or shock bar? They had a little red bar that the more you deflected their attacks, the bigger that bar would get and the smaller the stamina bar would get. And then when you got them, they'd be so scared that you deflected so many attacks, you could then do a critical hit. I thought that little mechanic was kind of fun.
Yes.
The idea that you could stress them out so much by your skills that they'd leave an opening for you to take them down or do a critical hit in regards to it. I thought that was quite fun.
I like that. Mm. I don't think it's very innovative because of one game that released, I think, about 5 years ago at this point. The visuals for Rise of the Ronin, I compared to Ghost of Tsushima.
Yes, of
the
course.
The gameplay of this game, I compared to Sekiro Shadows Die Twice.
I thought that might come into play because I haven't played that game, but I do know that game is very counter-attacky and kind of deflecty, right? You're gone.
That was going to be my question. Have you ever played Sekiro?
No, I have not played Sekiro. No.
Sekiro is what this game is trying to be. That sounds a bit like I'm adding some conflict between the two. I'm not trying to do that. Sekiro does what this game is trying to do extremely, extremely well. It's even got a grappling hook so you could just zip all over the place.
That's right.
But
that's right.
The combat in this case, firstly, I don't think the controls are very intuitive, right? Okay. You've got your jump, you've got attack, you've got deflect, and you've got dodge.
Yeah.
All on the face buttons.
Yeah.
Meaning, all of those commands are being commanded by one finger, thumb.
That's very true. Yeah, very much, very, very true.
For a game like Sekiro, the controls, I think, is more intuitive because they are placed all over the controller. You've got one on L1, you've got block and deflect, or parry.
Yeah.
Attack is R1.
Yeah.
And then dodge and jump would be on the face buttons, meaning you can have a finger on three of those actions at all times. Or where in Rise of the Ronin, you could only have one.
Yes. Okay. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Right. So it's less intuitive.
That's possibly why I like it, because I don't think I've got the complexity. I don't have the level of dexterity or skill levels to pull off a L1 R1 dodge attack combo like within half a second. So I'm like, attack.
Now that you mention it, that could be why this game feels like it's more for a casual audience.
Yeah, no doubt. I, like I said, this is one of the games I could actually kind of complete. The gameplay. Granted, once you got into the rhythm of fighting, you're right that the fighting does then become a little too easy, except for boss fights. But the other, like the little henchmen and things, just becomes a slaughter fest each time.
I was playing this game like I played Sekiro. I was hanging back, waiting for them to attack, and then I would parry, which would open them up for a killing blow.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Which Rise of the Ronin does as well.
Yeah.
Once their posture bar fills up, you can then attack for a killing blow.
Yes.
Just like you do in Rise of the Ronin.
Yes, very true. Yes, sir, very true.
And I was playing this like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't getting very far.
Okay. Yeah.
So I switched up my tactics and I started button mashing and attacking, just not hanging back and playing very aggressively. Right? Just square, 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 mm-hmm. square, 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 until their health bar falls.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you.
And that worked way better.
Really? That's not what I've been doing. I've been obviously doing it the hard way. I've been trying to counter everything because it looks cool.
Same!
I know, right? That's all I was ever doing. But you're right. You're right. Attacking did seem to be more of a gameplay plus than it was to just wait to deflect.
But to you and I, it doesn't feel like you're properly being a Ronin.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And again, you can't... like Ghost of Tsushima. The fighting in that just felt more fun and... like you said, more Ronin-esque, more samurai-esque.
Sekiro. Sorry,
Go on, you're saying Sekiro, go on.
I was just going to say, Sekiro is way, way, way harder.
Yes.
Way harder. And that's by design.
Yes, agreed.
I think it is unfair to compare the two because this was made for a much more casual based audience.
Agreed.
The combat's supposed to be much easier. The exploration is supposed to be much more fulfilling, and you're supposed to get around much easier. Hence, why the horse exploration, the gliding, and the grappling is all so easy.
Well, the thing I compared this game mostly to was Assassin's Creed.
Yes, that makes complete sense. It makes complete sense. It does.
And even, I swear to you, there are some parts in it where there's an eagle and it's the exact sound of Assassin's Creed. I said that weird noise.
Well,
wouldn't be
surprised.
But there's, again, this one later game, and this is a lot of people have pointed out, it's just a collect-a-thon later on. It's like, go to this area, defeat the bad guys.
It's unfortunate.
Go find a cat. And there are 100 cats to find. There are and it got boring. I'm sorry. It just, and later on, I remember looking at my infantry space thinking, oh wow, I've got 2,000 infantry space. I thought, wow, that's great. So I don't have to be over encumbered. I don't have to care about the infantry that I have. Except that you do. At many points, I was full because you get like 5 items from each bad guy you kill. And you couldn't just sell all. You had to highlight each one with the square button and then select each one for 500 different items and then press sell all.
Goodness.
That was so mind-numbing. There are things in this game where they've made it... they haven't put much love into. Did you notice the aggro circle thing? I don't know what else you call it. You could aggro a bad guy or a bunch of bad guys. You could walk outside their aggro area and then they'd walk back into place. You know, that was an old school mechanic we used to have years ago. I thought this was gone. So if you really wanted to, you could aggro everyone, take them out, and then as they walked back, just shoot them. Like, you could literally, you could do that for each fight. It was so annoying. I didn't know, we'd gotten away from like, aggro areas.
I didn't even notice this.
Oh no, this was the worst. All of a sudden, you're ducking, you're diving.
It makes me sad because Team Ninja, they made Nioh 1, Nioh 2, and World on Fallen Dynasty.
Yeah.
Those are all good games, hard games.
Agreed.
This might be their attempt at a mass market, casual based.
Yes, I think it is.
Assassin's Creed, like, just big old open world that you can spend 100 hours in.
Very much so. They've got all those little things in there to fill those 100 hours in.
Yes.
And that's kind of the problem with it. You know, there's cat concierge, which you can send cats out to get items. There's the dog you can send out to get items. There's each weapon style has like 5 different styles that you can build up with experience each time. So that will take hours. There's collecting all this.
My exact words for Assassin's Creed were a mile wide, an inch deep.
Yes, exactly it. It's like they henpecked different bits from games that the people and then just put it in there. There's even like making friends, which is kind of like Persona or like you said, like a dragon.
Where you
give
bonds,
them gifts,
right?
And build bonds, and it's all like you said. It's very shallow. It's all very little bits, and later on when you're in like 10 hours, you kind of care less. You're just like, oh, it's another person. I've got a friend. Oh, there's another person. And you're just like, oh my, do I want to? It's one of those things when you do the friend missions that you just start pushing X through the text.
Yeah.
Because you no longer want to actually know what's going on. You just want to get it. You want that friendship level 2. And then you want
get it.
Yeah. It's like you said it right. It's miles wide and only an inch deep. And that's a lot of it. And as you get later in the game, that's exactly how it feels. It turns
it
into
sucks.
A bit of a slog fest.
I don't like the direction that this went into. I think there are some gems there here and there regarding the mechanics. Mm-hmm. I like the exploration.
Yeah.
The open world is fine. The horse riding, I think, is my favorite out of every game I've ever played. Yes, way better than Red Dead Redemption 2.
There's only one thing I'll give the horse riding is that you don't have to go over to the horse to go on it. I'd always bugged. You know, in other games, you call your horse and it walks into the scene, and then you've got to go over and then press X or whatever to climb on. This one, you call your horse and it runs kind of past you and you jump on it automatically.
Because it runs into me.
Yeah.
And then a split second later, I climb on and it's go time.
Yeah, exactly.
That
makes sense.
That is way better than any other horse riding game.
Because why else would you call your horse if you're not going to ride it?
Exactly. It's not like... I'm not calling my horse so it can stand next to me and I can use it as cover. That's not why I'm calling my horse. Always... I'm calling my horse to climb it on top of it. Okay. So, I enjoy the horse riding in this game, among others. But I do agree that there are a lot of elements that are underbaked and unfortunately just oversized. Most of this game feels like all filler, no killer.
No, exactly right. Nice.
Which is so unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. There's so many even little things just coming up. There's a vendetta system that's kind of pointless.
What's the point of that? Sorry, why was there a vendetta system? I got that a couple of times. Now there's a vendetta.
Yeah, I got
you. What does that mean?
In theory... There's also a Souls-like to this a bit. You know, as you slowly developed karma, you could bank them at the banners.
Oh, yes, for skill points.
And so in theory, when you died with like 200 karma, the person who killed you has that karma now. And so you have to go back and kill him to gain the karma back so that you can bank it at the banners.
Okay, that makes sense. And is that the vendetta system? They now have your karma and a vendetta. You need to get it back from them.
Yeah, the karma is not so important that you actually need to really give a damn. You just, you save a few more animals or you save a little... they have that same open world system thing where you get these little mini missions, protect this person, get mugged by this person, follow this dog, you know, the normal little randomly generated missions. Which you could get a ton of karma for anyways. So, like, it is. Sorry, we're going on the same point. But it is so shallow. It's all kind of meaningless after, like, 30 hours or whatever you put in. You're just like,
Okay,
anything else gameplay-wise?
I feel like there's quite a couple of things that we can dive into. But no, we'd just be saying the same stuff over and over.
The
gameplay, there are some parts good. But it's mostly just... It's mostly fluff. Yes. It's taking the bad from the Assassin's Creed franchise as well.
Agreed. It's taking the stuff that they're like, if you look at Mirage, they took back out again because people knew it was fluff. It was
good.
It was just getting too boring. Yeah, and this had a ton of that still in.
This is taking notes from the wrong Assassin's Creed.
Yes, exactly.
Which is unfortunate. No, okay. I don't mean to hammer on gameplay anymore. Let's move on to performance.
Performance-wise, what happened your end? Anything good, bad, the ugly?
Why is this game loading so long?
Yeah, no, it did load. It did.
Right, I thought the entire one of the big selling points for the PlayStation 5 was no more loading.
Yeah,
look, you just pick a spot on the map and you can Peter Parker in an instant.
Yeah, I still remember the Spider-Man advert, right? In my head, I can perpetually see that showcase that there was no loading screens. It was flawless swinging and all the other things that associated.
But
with Spider-Man.
We've got the game digitally because we got a code from Gamefinity and Code Tecmo. Thank you, Gamefinity and Code Tecmo. So if I play game from the hub in the PlayStation 5, it takes a very long time for this game to load into.
It does, which is really weird. Yeah, it's not like massively graphically for high leveled pixels and all this other.
What is it loading?
I don't know. The map took a little time. Everything took a little time. It was really very bizarre. Because, again, the graphics aren't amazing. It's not loading assets, like hardcore, highly detailed assets every single time you went into here or went there. I don't understand why it was so slow.
Is it just not optimized well?
I'm guessing that's it. We need anyone who listens to the podcast to tell us like why, because it's something we really don't know. Why are some games flawless? And like have no loading systems. Why do some take 6 hours to load a map, which it's a 2D yes. image instead of 3D image that you were looking at before. I don't understand yes. it. But you could be right. Maybe it's just the build quality of the game itself.
Have you ever loaded Final Fantasy VII Remake on the PlayStation 5? It's got an upgrade. It looks spectacular. Mm-hmm. Have you ever loaded that game from the main menu?
I'm pretty sure I have, but I don't know. It's quick, is it?
It takes 4 seconds.
Yeah, that I can somewhat picture that. You're right into your gameplay kind of quick, right? I can see.
Right? 4 seconds. Don't understand. Play game. I don't understand. Continue. Bam.
And remember, these games aren't ported to other devices, are they? This didn't come out on PlayStation 4,
this
did
is
it?
A PlayStation 5 exclusive.
So this was, this was literally built on the console or design, or the software designed for the PlayStation 5. Not to be ported to the Switch or the PlayStation 4 or the other things. This was designed for this engine. Yet it seems to still be running on a flat.
This isn't a massive detriment. No, it's not like there are game-breaking bugs all over the place.
Exactly.
It's just loading much longer than I thought it would. That's it, though.
Same here. I basically had just the same issue. I didn't really have too many issues. I fell into a rock at the wrong angle and got stuck, which is not really anyone's fault. You know, I fell out a glider, at the wrong point. I fell into a...
Yeah.
They didn't expect anyone to fall into that bit. So, you're going to clip into it potentially. So, I don't really find that to be a performance issue. It's just inevitable to some degree.
Yeah.
No, everything else ran fine. I thought it worked okay. It worked. I didn't see any frame skips or anything like that while I was playing. Just the loading times, like you. It just weirdly took a little while every once in a while.
Besides the performance, the value for money, I think, is fine. I think this is a big old collectathon and mostly fluff and filler.
It is.
But I don't want to say I'm giving it a pass because it's a new formula.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give it a pass because of that, because it's basically the same as Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Agreed, yeah.
But
that's kind of the problem as well, right? Kind of the problem as well. It's all the things that we're getting tired of from an Assassin's Creed game in a samurai game.
And exactly. You're not an assassin. You're a samurai, Ronin type.
Japanese
man. But it's still just the wrong type of gameplay that we don't want anymore.
Yeah, it's all just fluff and it's giving you those 100 hours, but 80 boring ones. But they get to say they're giving you 100 hours. You know, they get to say this is a lengthy game. But it's like rearranging your sock drawer or your albums into alphabetical order. It's just not always fun.
It just isn't fulfilling. Something you always want to do. It's not fulfilling.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a lot of game there. It does take a long...
There's a lot of game there.
If you're a completionist and stuff like that, this is kind of your thing, I suppose.
It is taking the Assassin's Creed formula, but it's changing it up more.
Yeah.
It's adding Souls-like elements.
Yes, it's right. It's adding bits of everything.
Bonds, different weapons, a lot of gamey things.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say all of them are valuable. A lot of it's fluff.
No, it is.
I'm a bit on the fence for this one.
Mm.
If you don't mind the collectathon, if you don't mind the Assassin's Creed type gameplay, if you like it, then this game is 100% for you.
This really is. If you like the Assassin's Creed games of the last 10 years or so,
This is it.
Dive in. Yes.
Don't listen to us. What are you doing listening to us?
No, because go Assassin's Mad. Go pretend you're Ezio, but a Ronin this time.
What do you think for the value for money for this game?
I think the same thing. It's got a lot there. It wasn't $70 at release. It was like $60, which I like that to some degree. That's a $70 like price point nowadays is kind of painful for a game and a risk in regards to if you actually enjoy it or if there's actually gameplay in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, if you like the Assassin's Creed, if you like collecting everything, you want to get the best weapons, best armor, best stats, you want to get your trophies and stuff, this game is for you. There's tons in there.
Yes. Yes, and you can spend a lot of time. And you could really just, at a certain point, just turn on a podcast.
Yes. And just
listen, put a movie in the background or... I don't know, listen to a streamer, whatever. This is not the type of game you concentrate. You can't really get immersed in it fully because all the Westerners are talking Japanese for some reason.
Yeah, and I can't, I personally couldn't follow everyone's name. I don't know, that's on me, but it was always this guy. So now it's just, for me, it's a Chandler, a guy with big shield, guy with gun shield, guy with a...
Guy with glasses.
Back. Yeah, he's guy with glasses, that's right. That's right.
Big ponytail.
Yeah, for me, it was like, yeah, I just couldn't follow everything. But that's just me. It is there. It's got some value. It's not a bad game.
Even no, when we come to our, please our don't think that now, this is
it's
a,
not actually a bad game.
It's just not kind of a bad game.
Boring at times would probably be the best.
It's you've definitely played it before. I'll yes, say that. Yeah,
exactly.
You've definitely
yeah.
played this game before.
Yes, you have. Yeah. Okay, what do we score this bad boy?
Yes.
Then?
So the scores we gave for this game was part of the Veiled Edge. Ooh. Is that their name, the Veiled Edge?
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, it could have been the Veiled Edge.
Okay, they're part of the Veiled Edge, but they've been disgraced. Their master's been killed. And their twins, the other set of scores, got killed or whatever. So our scores scoured the land and eventually came upon our twins, who matured into the Let's Regret rating of C+, which is good.
It's exactly what this nice game is. It is a C+. Yep. Like I said, if you like the Assassin's Creed games, then yeah, it's a B, A. I don't really, it doesn't hit A for me, even if you like Assassin's
nearly.
Creed games.
Oh, no. A is for those generation-defining
yes,
games.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, it's okay. I played, I think, 30 hours, 40 hours into it. It's getting tiring now, but I still got 30 to 40 hours into it, so it pulled me through compared to like some other games.
That's a long time.
I know. It's like I said, insomnia can be a double-edged sword sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is what it is. It is a C+ game. It isn't great. It isn't bad. It's just that middling.
It's not. That's the thing, that this game isn't bad.
No, it's not bad.
I enjoyed the exploration. I thought the combat was lacking, but that might just be only because I'm a big fan of Sekiro.
Yeah, it could be.
If this game looks good to you, then you will most likely enjoy it. But
it is. This is a preference thing. This isn't like an all-rounder everyone must play.
No, definitely not. And I wouldn't even say this is a Game of the Year contender.
No, agreed. Not at all.
So that was Rise of the Ronin, a game that I'm still happy we played.
Yeah,
it's not like I hated my time with this game.
No, exactly.
It was a good game. Fine game.
It was a fine
excuse
game.
Me.
A good game is Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger,
this
that's
a
good
game. This
is a
fine game, and a bad game is Suicide Squad.
I dissed on the horse riding earlier, but Red Dead Redemption 2.
That's because you
good
just can't
ass
ride
game.
A horse. You just can't ride a horse.
That's, no,
let's face
no,
it.
It's,
just
it's not
ride.
Me.
That's
it's
a skill
not
issue.
Me. The horse riding is bad. It's not
that
me.
Was a skill issue, I swear. But anyway.
BioShock Infinite. Good game.
True, I'm not going to argue that one. That is a good game. No horses.
No horses. So big plus. Horses can't fly.
No.
So there are good games. This one is fine. You can play it if it looks good to you. So yeah, that was Rise of the Ronin. Thank you for listening to the Critical Arcade Podcast. Be so kind, you could leave us a review. It would help us out a lot. You could also follow us on our social media channels on YouTube or Instagram, or you could catch me on email. I'm nick@criticalarcade.com.
And I'm dave@criticalarcade.com.
But besides for your email, Dave, where else can we follow you?
Well, I am out and about, but if you do find me, I will start the mini game, or one of the many mini games this game had within it, and I will have you track down 100 stray cats and bring them to me. It doesn't matter where we are. We could be in the middle of the Saharan Desert. We could be in the middle of the top of, I was going to say Mount Olympus then, like that was a place. On top of Mont Blanc in France, you have to go and find and catch 100 stray cats and bring them to me so that we can start a concierge company. So that's it. So I don't even know how easy or hard that would be. There could be shelters where you could probably do that quite quickly. But that was what happened. And you have to bring them all at once. I don't know why, but a big ball of cats is
you somehow
what I'm
need
for.
To.
Yeah, you somehow need to achieve this if you find
don't do that. Well, rather follow us on Patreon for exclusive content like our post show or Critical Cinema, which is a good time.
Yeah, go on.
Speaking of good times, David, how about you tell us what have we got lined up for next week?
Next week's game after... It's funny because it's kind of a foil to this game, by all accounts. We went from the super serious Rise of Ronan to the, I don't know, super silly, would you say?
Yes.
Ape Escape 2 was a 2002. That's at 22 years old.
That's 22 years ago.
That's so long ago. Damn.
Have you ever played Ape Escape 2?
No, Ape Escape was one of those ones you always heard people playing or I heard coming out and never touched it because I figured it was Super Monkey Ball-esque or something like that, which I also didn't play those games. So it went under the radar, but it's supposed to be pretty decent game, like a fun game. It's supposed to have...
Well, it's remembered as such.
Yeah, it's supposed to have quite the fan following. So I look forward to seeing the one that I may have missed as a child and playing it next week. So that should be a ton of fun.
Same. Well, you can look forward to that next week. We'll see you then. Cheers.